This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Alex Chadwick. You may not know the name Brattonsville, but you could have seen this place, this South Carolina plantation. The director and actor Mel Gibson used it as a set in his American Revolutionary War film, The Patriot. When it's not serving as a backdrop, the Brattonsville plantation has a very special attraction. The recreation of daily slave life. NPR's Karen Grigsby Bates traveled to South Carolina this summer and met an extraordinary woman who helps tell the history of the slaves of Brattonsville. Here's Karen's report.
High summer is always busy at Brattonsville, the 18th century plantation in York County, South Carolina. A 45-minute drive from busy Charlotte, North Carolina, Brattonsville, says its director, Chuck LeCount, is one of the best examples of true plantation life. It is not, he emphasizes, like those gussied-up antebellum showcases on the Mississippi with hostesses in hoop skirts.
We don't have a lot of gardens, and you're more likely to step in cow manure in the yard than you are to see a lot of azaleas. So it's a good representation of what a plantation might have actually look like during operation.
And what it looks like is a lot of work. There are acres of fields to be farmed, tons of cotton to be picked, sorted, weighed, and spun. And because Brattonsville was the home of a wealthy family, that work was done by 139 people of African descent, slaves.
The man who built this house, his name was Colonel William Bratton. Colonel William Bratton had 12 black slaves.
That's Kitty Wilson Evans, a former kindergarten teacher who's the plantation's full-time slave interpreter. She spends several days each week portraying various aspects of slave life here. About 30,000 visitors come to Brattonsville each year. More than a third are school children who are brought by their teachers to observe plantation life firsthand. Miss Kitty is often their guide. She's a tiny, bird-like woman with bright eyes and a voice that can go from sweet to stern in a flash. Today, dressed in a long gingham skirt, red apron, and head wrap, Miss Kitty's leading a group of school-age summer campers from the city across a lawn that thrums with cicadas. As the youngsters try to keep up with her brisk pace, they alternately swat at and duck away from droning honeybees and rainbow-winged dragonflies. Miss Kitty stops to explain the differences between indentured servitude and slavery, clapping her hands to emphasize her point.
Indentured servant? Worked 7 years for the Brattons. After the contract was up, he was free to go. He purchased a black slave. That means he is property, and he will be with that man that bought him for the rest of his life.
After allowing the children to inspect slave cabins and a few brick homes where the plantation's skilled artisans lived, Miss Kitty makes another stop. She points out a white marble obelisk erected by the Bratton family to honor Watt, a slave who risked his own life to warn Colonel Bratton that a group of British soldiers were seeking to kill him. Watt could have run away to the British, who were promising freedom to colonist slaves if they agreed to fight for the crown. Miss Kitty says Watt's wife, Polly, urged him not to get involved.
Why, you gotta go, Watt. This ain't our war. This is their war, and they ain't gonna give us our freedom.
But Watt did what his mistress demanded, and as his wife predicted, remained a slave. The campers, all black, looked askance at Watt's choice. It's an attitude Miss Kitty has little patience for.
Don't ever say what you would do unless you're standing. Listen to me, boys. Listen to me. Don't ever say, and ladies, don't ever say what you would do unless you're in the shoes of that person that's in that situation at that time. Watt did what he had to do.
Later, she admits she's often emotional about the part of the tour that's come to be known as Watt's decision because her late husband, John, used to portray Watt. But soon, she's shaken off her anger and leads the children across the road to the last part of the tour. It ends on the grass before an elegant two-story mansion with whitewashed columns and tall windows lined with shutters. Before she dismisses them, Miss Kitty gathers the children around her and teaches them a chanting game.
Two-way, two-way, marimba, two-way, two-way. Try it with me, come on. Two-way, two-way, marimba, two-way, two-way. One more time. Two-way, two-way, marimba, two-way, two-way. All right, what did you have for breakfast?
This is more than a song, she tells the campers. It's a slave mother's coded warning to her child.
Eat well, my child. Stay strong, my child. You're going to need your strength out there in that cotton field.
After applauding and thanking Miss Kitty, the campers troop off, leaving the two of us on the mansion's shady veranda.
What's important to you that they understand by the time they go?
That there were slaves here. And it wasn't a pretty sight. And when they look at me, they're not looking at me as Kitty Wilson Evans, an interpreter, but they're looking at me as a slave, either in that cabin or out there in that cotton field.
Miss Kitty began her work as an interpreter 16 years ago when the Brattonsville staff asked her to. She felt the research they gave her wasn't enough, though, so on her own, she interviewed local professors and picked the brains of Brattonsville's historians to bring her character alive. She confesses she almost stopped her interpreting work when her husband died. Then she met two descendants of Brattonsville's slaves. They changed her mind.
They encouraged me to tell the stories of their ancestors. In other words, they asked me if I would do that. And I promised them I would do the very best that I possibly could. And I wanted to do this.
Kitty Wilson Evans rejects graphic horror stories some interpreters insist on in favor of a more subtle but still potent approach.
If I want to really show the cruelty of slavery, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to present the story to you. But in my appearance, maybe marks on my face or an arm that I might have lost. And when I walk out into that audience telling my story as a slave, you know, I just didn't fall off a horse. I got this. So it depends on who's, you're going to have to use the imagination. I like using the imagination to tell that true story.
Part of that story involves the religious instruction slaves were subjected to in their owner's church.
Praise the Lord, his glory show. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I ain't getting nothing out of that music. I can understand what that preacher's saying, but I ain't getting nothing out of that music because my roots are in Africa, a whole different culture. I might have been born here, but Africa is still a part of me.
And part in her, as we soon hear.
You know, they took the drums away from us, but they didn't keep the clapping of the hands and the patting of our feet. And out of the clear blue sky, that slave starts singing. Wanna be an angel in that angel band. Wanna be an angel in that angel band. Crown upon my forehead, harp in my hands. I wanna be an angel in that angel band.
Miss Kitty says she often finishes her presentations with a reminder to her audiences.
Slaves ain't gotta prove nothing to nobody. I don't care what historic site you go to. Slaves left their mark.
And she has a specific challenge to her African-American visitors.
Somebody in your family gave their lives for all the things that you're enjoying today. The freedom that you have, you can live any way you want to. They couldn't. Remember, they were property. But somebody in your family survived. How are you going to thank them for what they've given to you?
Karen Grigsby Bates, NPR News.
You can see photos of Kitty Wilson Evans and Brattonsville at our website, npr.org.